Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 996. Holy cow, can't believe I've done that many. Our topic is Q&A and the title is Diet Review, Female with Reshaping Goal. So someone reached out, actually a friend of the female that we're going to talk about today in today's podcast. They reached out and asked if I'd give some insight into the person's approach with their nutrition and training. They're super motivated, really wanting to improve, wanting to get better. This friend really wants them to help them out. So they shared with the lady our podcast, and she's been listening to a lot of different ones that I had suggested to the friend, and she's enjoying it. They broke down some details, and they wanted to hit some more feedback. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk through her nutrition and her training. I'm going to give suggestions that then you would be able to apply to your nutrition and training. So this is for a female who is wanting to reshape, meaning they want to lose a little bit of fat, build a little bit of muscle kind of thing. But the same concepts would apply to males. Same concepts would apply to basically all goals. You would just add more calories if you wanted to gain weight. You would take some of the calories away if you wanted to lose fat. But the same concepts apply. So let's go through this today, and what I'll do is I'll go through all this and then encourage you at the end if you think that this would be something helpful for you. If you would like to have your nutrition and training analyzed and put into a podcast, I'd be happy to do so. So just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll get to as many requests as I can, and if I can't get to them, I'll still email you back some kind of information, I promise. Okay, so for this lady, she's 48 years old and is a naturally high-energy person. She's thin, but desires to reshape and kind of build her muscles. She wants to look more like competitive physique athletes. So people who get on stage and show off all their beautiful muscles. So she wants that kind of look. Now, the person said she lost weight since kind of getting into beast mode, getting into like super serious mode, but she's not gaining muscle. And she's doing weight training with her personal trainer, but they're just not seeing really any weight change, any kind of shape change. They're not seeing the growth that they would have wanted for her efforts. Okay, so that's the background. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through this and kind of break down what she's eating, what she's doing training-wise, and what changes and corrections we can make. From listening to one of our past podcasts, the person, the female, she did like kind of a diet review for 7 days. She got on a macronutrient tracking app. She tracked her calories. She tracked her protein, her carbohydrates, her fats. She tracked her body weight. Then she did that for 7 days and kind of found averages over those 7 days. So we're going to use those numbers. So thank you to her for doing that. We're going to use those numbers and kind of analyze what we would think about them and what we'd change. The first thing we want to look at is calories. Calories determine the direction of weight change. If I eat too few of calories, no matter what those calories are, no matter when I'm eating them, I will lose weight. If I eat too many calories, no matter what those calories are, no matter when I eat them, I will gain weight. Now, if I eat kind of the right amount of calories, I'll stay the same weight. But that's what calories kind of do for us, is they determine the direction of weight change. Everything else in our nutrition determines the quality of the weight change and the quality of the experience, whether we feel good or whether we feel like crap. So it's important to get calories right first, because if you get everything else right but your calories are wrong, you're going to have a great experience in the wrong direction. So it's like getting a luxury car but driving in the complete opposite direction of where you want to go. So we want to make sure we have our direction correct first, and then we try to get everything else right. Now, how you can learn about that yourself is podcast number 153. It is titled, How Many Calories Do I Need? Pretty useful title, considering that's what everybody asked me. So it's podcast 153, How Many Calories Do I Need? If you can't find that podcast on the podcast platform you're on, you can do a Google search for it, Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 153, How Many Calories Do I Need? Or you can always email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the direct link. So what that does is that tells you to do exactly what this lady did, is to take kind of an average, see how your body responds to that average, and it lets you know kind of where you're at. Now, there's a million and one caveats to everything I say, because I'm trying to talk to kind of the global population, like multiple people at one time, and there are often individual differences. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at her individual difference. So again, her goal is to lose some body fat, but more so build muscle, because in the information I was given is that she's very thin. So we're not necessarily looking for somebody who's wanting to lose equal amounts of body fat and build equal amounts of muscle. Likely this person is thin and maybe has some fatty spots on their body simply because they're just too thin. They need more muscle to kind of push up against the skin and balance everything out and make it look like it has more kind of curves and roundness to their physique where those muscles would be. So this person is mostly looking to build muscle, meaning that we want their weight to go up. So adding muscle to your body adds weight. It does not mean you got fat. Just because the scale goes up does not mean you got fat. You can build muscle and look great, but muscle does have weight. So your weight will go up. Now, do we want to have it go up, 10 pounds every week? Probably not. That's going to be mostly fat. So there is kind of an appropriate amount of weight gain. But that's what we want to think of when we talk through the rest of the calories here, the calorie goals, is remembering that she actually wants her weight to go up so she can build muscle. In general, what you're going to find from listening to Podcast 153 is if you take someone's body weight and you multiply it by 11 to 13, somewhere in that range. So you take your body weight, multiply it by 11, take your body weight, multiply it by 13. The range between those two numbers is commonly, for most people, what would be considered maintenance calories. So if you eat within that range, you're probably over time going to kind of keep the same weight you've always been. If you eat below that range, you'll start to kind of lose some weight. If you eat above that range, you'll start to gain weight. So if this person's very thin and they're wanting to build muscle, and she's exercising, meaning she's burning some of her calories, like extra calories, through exercise of movement, so we have to eat to outgain the calories lost in the exercise and to provide extra calories enough to grow with. So there's kind of like two components there. We have to eat extra based on just normal life, but we also have to eat extra extra based on the fact that she's exercising. So a very conservative, safe place to start would be body weight times 14. So if we know body weight times 11 to 13, somewhere in that range is typically maintenance calories, then we can eat body weight times 14, and that'll start to kind of maybe push our scale up. Now, we would have to kind of tweak that as we go, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but that gives you a guesstimation of a starting place. Now, further down, we're going to find out that she's quite a bit off from that number. So we're going to talk about how do we work our way up there. So her caloric average is only 1,438 calories, whereas the equation of body weight times 14 says that she should be at 1,834 calories. So from 1,400 to 1,800, that's a big difference. Okay? Now, we're going to get to that in a second. But next thing we're going to look at is protein. So protein is the second most important thing to look at once you've looked at calories. The reason why protein is so important is because it is what our body repairs and builds muscle with. So if we don't eat enough protein, we don't even maintain the muscle we have as we try to increase activity. We'll actually lose muscle weight. So we have to make sure we eat enough protein to at least maintain our muscle. But then, if somebody wants to actually build muscle tissue, the building blocks of muscle is protein. So you have to eat extra protein to make sure that you sustain maintenance during high activity, but also to grow new tissue. So, podcast number 33, titled How Much Protein Do I Need? Pretty convenient title as well, is where you're going to find out the information. Now, you can listen to that whole podcast. There's a ton of good information in there, but the summary is your body, your protein intake should be somewhere between 0.6 grams to 1 gram per pound of body weight. So if you weigh 100 pounds, because I'm lazy and I just want to make the math that way, you would want to eat between 60 grams to 100 grams of protein. If you weigh 200 pounds, it would be 120 grams of protein to 200 grams of protein. So 0.6 to 1 gram. Now, 0.6 is if the person does no physical activity, really doesn't do any kind of weight training, just wants to generally maintain their muscle tissue. So if you do resistance training, if you do active exercise, even if it's only just cardio-based exercise, you definitely want to be more towards the top end of that range, maybe 0.8 to 1 gram. So she is only averaging 73 grams of protein throughout the week. That's her daily average. Not enough at all. So what's funny here is as I went through kind of analyzing her caloric average, her protein average, and then her carbon fat average, then later on down, I saw that they included her body weight. So I actually wrote all this and then saw her body weight and was like, oh, crap. So it was all correct, but it was funny too. When I saw 73 grams, I was like, oh, that's definitely too low because it's unlikely that she's 100 pounds. So when I found out that her body weight was 131, 130 pounds, 73 grams is definitely too low. So if she's wanting to build muscle, she needs to be up around that 1 gram per pound of body weight. She definitely needs to be eating more so around the 130 grams of protein, not 73 grams. 73 grams of protein is barely enough to maintain muscle tissue. It's absolutely not enough to build new muscle tissue. So protein intake, what its direct effect is in this goal is going to be if you can build new muscle. If you don't have enough protein, no matter what you do in training, even if your calories are correct, but you don't have enough protein, you cannot build new muscle. So that's a must. We have to have that correct. Okay? So again, if you're looking to build muscle and you're lifting weights, you should be up towards the top end of that average, and I would recommend that you're up close to 1 gram per pound of body weight. Cool. Next thing we look at is she has her average intakes for carbs and fats. And in general, how many grams of carbs you have, how many grams of fat you have, doesn't really matter. Now, that's going to go against what a lot of people think. But carbs themselves do not make you fat. For the love of God, we all have to stop believing that eating carbohydrates makes you fat. It does not. So what carbohydrates effect is when you combine carbohydrates with water and sodium, it can change your body weight because it increases or decreases the amount of water you store in your body. So if you eat carbohydrates kind of more so than usual, you will weigh more than usual because your body uses the carbohydrates combined with sodium and water, and it stores more water in your body. Therefore, you weigh more. You do not weigh more because you got fat. You weigh more because your body is holding more water. That's a side effect of eating carbohydrates. Likewise, a side effect of not eating carbohydrates is to weigh less. This is why people, when they start like ketogenic or low-carb diets, initially lose weight, because since they're not eating as much carbohydrates, their body isn't storing as much water, therefore they weigh less. So podcast number 650, titled Body Weight Effects from Carbohydrates and Sodium, will give you all the rundown, all the breakdown of that. So if you have previously said in your life that carbohydrates make you fat, please stop saying that. That is not true. Overeating any foods whatsoever will gain body weight, but carbohydrates themselves, there's nothing wrong with them. There's no reason why they will make you fat. And again, if you disagree with me, listen to podcast number 650. If you say, well, every time I eat carbohydrates, my weight goes up, I just told you that that has to do with water weight, not fat. Okay. So I'll stop yelling at everybody. Then how much fat we have, there's really no negatives to how much fat we have as long as it's controlled within our calorie limits. Fats have great effects on hormones. They have a lot of other benefits in our body. You actually do need fat in your diet. Again, eating fat will not make you fat. It's just overeating anything has a likelihood of making you fat. So what you really need to monitor is your calorie intake and your proteins. Once your protein is accounted for, the rest of the calories you eat in a day should come from carbohydrates and fats, and whatever amount will let you meet your caloric goal. So we have podcast number 658, titled Diet Tracking, Getting the Most from the Least. And it explains that all you have to really track is calories and protein. Nothing else really matters. You only have to track those two things, and you're going to pretty much get the great physique that you want. It's really when people are going for like kind of special goals of like competitions and getting on stage and doing things like that, that then the exact intake of carbohydrates versus fats, the exact timing does actually matter when you're looking for peaked performance or peaked aesthetics. But for most people to get in great shape that you'd be happy to put on, you know, a bikini or swimming trunks on a beach, you only have to track calories and protein. Okay. In general, you want to eat carbohydrates when you're active, eat fats when you're inactive. So focus more so on carbohydrates and proteins at active times, focus more so on fats and proteins at inactive times. The general reason why is because you're trying to match the digestion rate of the food you're eating to your energy usage rate. If I'm using a lot of energy right now, I want food that digests a lot right now. That's carbohydrates. If I'm sitting on my butt doing nothing, meaning I'm using energy very slowly, sustained over time, then I want something that digests slowly, sustained over time, which is fats. Cool. Okay, so that's all the good background stuff of what we look for calories, proteins, and carbs and fats. So again, we said the body weight was 131, and they noticed no fluctuations over 7 days. Now, if they're wanting to build muscle, we know that their weight has to go up. So clearly, if their weight didn't move anywhere for 7 days in a row at the calorie intake they were having, they need to eat more calories. But as we said, our recommendation would be is body weight times 14, which is 1,834 calories. Right now, they were only averaging 1,438 calories, so about a 400-calorie difference. If you immediately just start eating 400 calories more every day, right away, you will likely gain some body fat because the body doesn't really need all 400 right now. It doesn't even have its processes of the body sped up to properly manage an extra 400 calories. So something you want to think of is what we eat, our body adjusts to. If I eat chronically low calories, my body will find a way to use less and less calories, meaning the processes we use to kind of repair skin, to build nails, to grow hair, all of our kind of non-essential processes slow down. As we eat more food slowly, those processes will speed up. Now, if I just dump a bunch of extra calories in right away, the processes they'll catch up eventually, but in the meantime of them not catching up, you are intaking more calories than you need at that one moment, than the body can really use at that one moment. So you would gain a little bit of unwanted fat, notice a little bit of water weight change, and it would probably be a negative aesthetic change, even though it would eventually turn into a good one. So how do we avoid that kind of temporary negativity is to work our calories, our weekly average, up by about 100 to 200 calories per week. So if she has a 400 calorie gap, meaning she's been eating 1400 calories and we want her to get to 1800 calories, the next week she should average 1500 calories. The week after that, she should eat enough to where she averages 1600. The week after that, she should eat enough to where she averages 1700. And then finally, the week after that, she should eat enough to where she averages 1800. So if you add about 100 to 200 calories on average per week, that's a speed in which your body's metabolism and the processes can catch up and work through. So that way you don't have that initial weight gain, water weight gain. You don't have that initial small fat formation due to excessive calories in those moments. So that's just a good recommendation, is to kind of work your weekly average up about 100 to 200 calories per week over time to get to the goal you want to do. Now, somebody might ask, if she was under eating, why didn't her weight fluctuate? Well, it's kind of because she was in that mode where people actually are under eating and the body feels stuck. It's under eating to where it can't build new muscle, but it's also under eating where it can't give up body fat. So body fat is protection. That's essentially what body fat is it's saved energy for times when we might need it. The more inconsistent you are with caloric intake and meal timing, the more the body thinks it has to have of body fat to protect itself. If you're very sporadic, the body feels the need to store more body fat. If you're less sporadic, you're more consistent, the less the body feels the need to keep body fat. So if she's chronically under eating and she's excessively exercising compared to her calorie intake, her body's going to hold on to all the fat it can. It's going to fight fat loss, but it's also going to be too underfed to build any new muscle. So you just kind of get stuck in limbo. Now, that is her nutrition. We're going to come back and kind of give a summary advice, but let's now look into training. So they included what her workout schedule was, and I'm going to read through it right now. So she's very active. She trains 6 days a week, very motivated. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Downside is she's doing a lot of cardio. Cardio does not promote new muscle tissue in any way whatsoever. Cardio actually takes away from the calories that you would have to build muscle. So not only is she under eating, but she's also excessively burning calories. So of the calories she's already not eating enough, she's using a lot of them to just run and do cardio. Bummer. A lot of wasted effort here. So she has on Mondays at 5:30 in the morning, she's doing 45 minutes of a cardio class. you're a badass to get up and do anything at 5:30 in the morning, and it kind of sucks that you're doing something that's counter to your goal. So that's depressing. But we can fix it. Then at 5:30 p.m., she's doing 45 minutes of weight training with a personal trainer, and it's listed as HIIT training, high-intensity interval training. Unfortunately, if that is like medium weights done at really fast pace, that's also a waste of time. So hopefully that is not what you mean by HIIT. You really should be training like a bodybuilder if you're trying to build your body. You need to do maybe single exercises or things that are kind of supersetted back to back. They should be really freaking heavy. The time under tension should be roughly between 20 to 40 seconds, even a little bit lower than that to build strength so that we can use bigger weights over time. But you should be training like a bodybuilder. They absolutely should not be like fast-paced circuits where you're crazy out of breath all the time. You want to be failing exercises because you can't freaking lift the weight anymore because your muscles are just dead and they can't move, or they're burning so damn bad that you have to stop. But you absolutely should not be out of breath. That should not be, well, you should be somewhat out of breath, but that shouldn't be the limiting factor. So you want to train like a bodybuilder. You want to do, like, so for example, in podcast number 986, we talk about common training splits for all goals. So listen to podcast 986 and do the bodybuilding stuff, and that'll tell you exactly how to format everything. So then on Tuesday at 5:30 in the morning, again, 5:30 in the morning, you're a psychopath, congratulations, good for you, but you're doing a 5-mile run. Oh, no. So again, this is wasted calories, and there's absolutely no promotion of muscle tissue. So this is counter to our goal completely. Bummer. Then Wednesday at 5:30 in the morning is strength training at home, freaking badass, good for you. Thursday, 5:30 p.m., personal training session, great. But again, it's listed as a HIIT. Hopefully you're not doing circuits with light weights or medium weights. You should be doing really heavy things and trying to tear muscle apart. Then Friday at 5:30, again, is a personal training session. Saturday morning at 9 a.m. is 1 hour of cardio. Bummer, bummer, bummer. Stop doing that. Sunday is an off day. Good for you. At least you gave yourself a day to rest and recover. So that's a great idea. It helps a lot to prevent burnout. You even just have one day a week where you get to kind of breathe and relax. Okay, so in general, super awesome that you're being that active. You clearly want this. You clearly are a hard worker. You are willing to work very hard. The bummer is you're working hard at the wrong things. We do not need to be doing cardio classes. You sure as hell do not need to be running 5 miles. So if your goal is to build muscle tissue and look like a physique athlete, you do not need to be doing cardio. Cardio is for managing caloric intake. It's a way in which you can kind of eat more, but then burn off more so that way you don't gain unnecessary body fat. Your goal right now is not to control calories in a kind of reduction control. You're trying to actually eat more. You're trying to actually stop burning so damn much so you can build new muscle. So all of this cardio effort, unfortunately, is completely counter to your goals. I know that that's going to be like, you know, people are going to freak out and they're going to say, well, if I stop doing cardio, am I just going to get fat? No. Because you're not even eating enough calories to form body fat. And please go listen to podcast 181, which is titled Using Muscle Damage for Fat Loss. If you beat up muscle in weight training sessions, your body's caloric demand to recover from that damage is greater than normal. Therefore, your what's called your basal metabolic rate, how many calories you burn at rest, is actually increased from weight training. So cardio only burns calories in the moments you're doing it. Weight training, you do burn some calories while you're doing it, but you burn a significant amount of calories when you recover from it. So swapping cardio for weight training is not a negative in caloric usage. It would be equated relatively equal, and I would actually argue that proper weight training will burn more calories in the 24-hour period after the session than a cardio session would. Okay? So if you stop doing cardio, will you get fat? No. If you still believe that, please go listen to podcast 181. If you still believe that after listening to podcast 181, please don't talk to anybody and never give anybody advice. Okay. So, Meredith is in the room right now. She's laughing at me because I'm being a jerk. But, yes. It's just, oh, man. Because I can tell you, like, the reason why I always get frustrated is I will tell you to go listen to that podcast about carbohydrates making you fat. And people will still say carbohydrates make them fat. So it's frustrating because it doesn't. And then people say, well, if I don't do cardio, I'm going to get fat. No, it's frustrating because it doesn't. So please, please, please. One of the best ways to ever prove if what I'm telling you is right is to try it. Try what I tell you and see if it turns out the right way, the way I told you. Hint, hint, it will, and then you'll think I'm a genius, so thank you. But that's the best way to try this stuff out, is if you don't believe me, just try it and see it for yourself. Okay? So, that would be my recommendation, is stop doing cardio. You do not need to do that. You can take that time and put it towards more resistance training. And then in your resistance training, please make sure you're doing slow, kind of big, heavy compound movements. You should be doing variations of deadlifts, of squats. Those are pretty much going to be your best ones. You can do some overhead press. You can throw in some bench press if you want there. But it's really big, heavy movements, like big, heavy leg presses, big, heavy, you know, like if they have a hack squat machine, you can do heavy dumbbell walking lunges. But you should be doing stuff that is focused on muscle damage, muscle stress, to the point where you're lifting it and you physically can't move it anymore. Your muscle just simply cannot move it anymore. And or the muscle is burning so damn bad that it hurts and you can't continue. The time under tension of your exercises should be 20 to 40 seconds, and I would argue if you're on the weaker side and you're kind of newer to lifting and you don't can't lift very heavy things, then it should actually be more so towards like 10 to 30 seconds. So if you're doing an exercise greater than 30 seconds, stop doing that. Make it heavier. If you're doing something you can't even do 10 seconds, I would recommend that it's probably too heavy. You might be risking injury, or you're only working on nervous system development rather than muscle tissue damage. So really, your window should be 10 to 30 seconds if you're on the weaker side. If you're a relatively strong person and you want to maximize muscle tissue, 20 to 40 seconds. Okay? Okay. Now, real quick, the last things they included was they gave a sample menu of what they would eat on a workout day versus like a morning workout day versus an evening workout day. So what this includes would be like the what of what they eat. So far we talked about calories, we talked about protein, we talked about fats and carbs, but we didn't necessarily discuss specific foods. The reason why is because they're not really that important. If your calories are correct, you're eating the right amount of protein, you're eating the right amount of carbs and fats to match the calorie needs for the total of the day, and you're eating mostly carbs when you're active, eating mostly fats when you're inactive, the what of what you eat really doesn't matter much, and it really has very little effect. The only effect it mostly has is just on digestive rates and how you feel. So if you eat something really high in sugar, you have an energy crash, that was a dumb choice, so eat something that's a slower digesting carbohydrate. If you eat a bunch of fried food and you're running to the bathroom because you have irritable bowel syndrome and your gut's arguing at you, stop eating fried foods. But none of that really matters much to our overall goal. It more so matters to how we feel in the moment of the day. Okay. So quick example is before their workout, they're having coffee and fruit. Great. Coffee is good caffeine. Fruit is good kind of quick, easy, digestible energy source. After the workout, they're having a breakfast of 2 whole eggs, English muffin, and more coffee. Fantastic. Eggs have protein in them. English muffin has the carbs. There is some fat in whole eggs, but when we say have carbs at times of most active, have fats at times of inactivity, it doesn't mean you have to be exclusive. You would just want to kind of focus more so on one than the other. Then their mid-morning is a handful of nuts. Great, good fats, good protein in there. Lunch is 3 to 4 ounces of lean meat with either rice, pasta, couscous, or quinoa. Good for you for eating couscous and quinoa. Those usually taste like crap. Quinoa is gross, but it's very good for you. So, good meal. Lean meat has awesome protein. Everything we just named there for rice, pasta, couscous, quinoa, it's all carbohydrates. Good, good, good. Mid-afternoon is Greek yogurt. Good. That has protein in there. It has should have some fats in there. Unless it's fat-free, but it's not listed as fat-free. Then also, dinner is 3 to 4 ounces of lean meat with a vegetable. The only correction I'd make there, or change I'd make, is at dinner, you want that protein that you're having to kind of digest a little bit slower throughout the night. So if you're going to bed and you have some muscle damage, you want that protein to kind of digest slowly throughout the night so the body can really use it. So I would actually, instead of doing a lean meat, I would do a fatty meat. And what's amazing about this is that we actually need to make up calories. So if you remember, this person is 400 calories average per day lower than where they need to be. So a simple change can just be switching to a fatty meat rather than a lean meat, and that'll bump your calories up quite a bit. So I would definitely add some fats to that last meal of the day, and that can be either using a fatty meat or you can still use a lean meat but add fat sources such as oils or cheeses or something like that. They have an example of their evening workout meals. So breakfast is 2 whole eggs, oatmeal, coffee. Fantastic. You got protein in there. You got some carbs and fats. Good stuff. Mid-morning is peanut butter and carrots. Sounds good. Carrots would be counted as carbohydrates, but they're so low in carbohydrates, they don't really count. It's just not enough actual carbohydrates to matter. Peanut butter is good fat source, good protein. Lunch is lean meat, salad with cheese and vinaigrette dressing. Great. So the lean meat's protein. Salad is just good roughage to help food pass through you. Cheese has a little bit of fats in there, so that's probably a good meal. Mid-afternoon's Greek yogurt again. 20 minutes prior to the workout, they're having Gatorade and protein powder. Freaking awesome. Great choice. Gatorade is sugar. Gives you tons of energy right for the workout. Protein helps kind of, protein powder helps flush protein into your system. So that way the body can kind of break that down and use it where needed, or it can use it to replace the muscle that's being broken down. So it's kind of like a proactive way of getting some protein in your system to help with protein management. So at all times we have protein being broken down and protein being builded. So protein is being built at all times. So throwing some protein powder in there before your workout is a really good idea to kind of preserve and save muscle tissue. Dinner after that is 3 to 4 ounces of lean meat with vegetables. So again, we'd still make that recommendation of using fatty meats or add fats to that meal. So the protein has slower digestion over the night and it can be converted more so over to muscle tissue. Okay, so overall, if you heard through that, they're eating good foods and they're eating pretty often throughout the day. So the food choice is good. The meal timing is good. It's just not enough. So all of this we just talked, or I just talked, for 31 minutes and 17 seconds, and the advice that we would give is to work your calories up about 100 to 200 calories in your weekly average until you see weight gain. Now, we know that the gain is likely to happen around 1,800 to 1,850 calories, but just add by 100 to 200 a week average. Wait and see how your body responds on the scale. What I would do is I would look for a rate of weight gain of 4 to 6 pounds over 8 weeks. Now, that means that by each week by itself is going to be pretty hard to tell if you're actually moving forward. 1 week might be a half a pound, another week might be 1 pound, the following week might only be a quarter of a pound. But in general, if you look over an 8 week period, you should aim to gain 4 to 6 pounds over 8 weeks. That is a relatively slow rate of gain, but it ensures that you do not gain a lot of body fat. So you'll build kind of more muscle, which will improve your aesthetic, like the way you look, you'll build in more muscle than you will fat. So if your goal is to reshape, essentially what you're looking to do is to look leaner and look more muscular. Gaining weight at 4 to 6 pounds per 8 weeks is going to give you that effect. The second advice I'd give is to drop cardio efforts and replace it with weight training. Focus on big compound movements, focus on strength. As we said, focus on things somewhere between 10 to 30 seconds of effort. And that's going to create greater muscle damage. And then as you're eating more calories, the body will know where to put those calories because of all that muscle damage that will now be present. So that's the advice. So hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully it was fun to kind of see how I would break down all these numbers and the different thought processes I'd give to what to change and when to change it and all those things. So hopefully this was helpful to that person. If they have any questions, they're always welcome to email us back at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Hopefully this was helpful to you, the listener. And if you would ever like your nutrition broken down like this, I'd be happy to do so. Again, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Just let me know what your goals are. Kind of give me a summary of what you've been doing, and I'll help you out. I do think that it's beneficial for people to kind of listen through podcasts such as this. I often get good feedback. So to those who say, email me and let me know what podcasts they like and don't like and stuff like that, I really appreciate it. This podcast is truly intended to be for you, the listener, whatever you want to know. So if there is a topic that you enjoy, please let me know and I'll do it more often. If there's something that you would like that maybe we haven't done or don't do often enough, please let me know and I'll do that more often. Again, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast, please click like, but more importantly, please share it. If you think our podcast is helpful to your life, please share the podcast with more people so we can help their life as well. Thank you for doing so. Also, if you like the information presented in our podcast, you can find more on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedbacks, or suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, let me know at our email at brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.